Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." I want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. You are mistaken. I believe many people are not going to make it to heaven because they are mistaken about the Bible and what the Bible teaches. And it is willful. They do not want to take the time to study. But many people are mistaken. So much of it, you stop and think about it like we were talking in class. People just want that feeling of something. They want that emotionalism. They want something social. They don't understand. They are mistaken about what the church is. What is the church? The church is the blood-bought, heaven-sent, spirit-filled body of believers that the Lord adds to when we surrender our hearts and our lives to His Word. Acts 2:37, we find, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And in Acts 2, verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." People don't understand what the church is. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children." As we've been studying the Old Testament on Wednesday night, we see that it's not that the word was not available to them. They weren't interested in the word. They were interested in the idols. They were interested in satisfying their flesh. And they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amos 8 and verse 11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A lot of people are mistaken because they don't want to hear the word of God. A lot of people have a lot of mistaken ideas. And like Nat was saying in class this morning, they have to be untaught what they were taught in order that they can learn. Well, what does it mean to be mistaken? To cause to wander, to lead away, to deceive, to be led astray, seduce, wander, to miss the mark, to fail. Some things we can make a mistake on and it's not a big deal. Did I eat this many of those donuts or did I eat that many? I'm not sure. I might have made a mistake. There are some things, though, if we make a mistake, it's going to cost us our soul. The Bible is the world's most popular book, the world's most influential book, yet it's the world's most misunderstood book. Some people misunderstand the whole Bible. Some people misunderstand the Bible today, and we need to help them to clear up that misunderstanding. So what is it that people don't understand about the Bible? Some don't understand its source. They think it's a human book, but the Bible is the inspired message of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When somebody says, "I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say," they are missing all of this. They don't understand that this is from the word of from God on what we must do and how we must live. 2 Peter 1:21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Some misunderstand the purpose of the Bible. Some think it's a storybook. So last night, we were watching a couple of shows, very, very interesting. They were National Geographic specials. One was on Herod the Great. One was on the city of Nineveh. And it was amazing seeing these documentaries by a very professional company of the lands that we've been talking about. And they would have a lot of the history right, and then they would put a spin on it that, but God overlooked this, and God loves everybody, and this and that. And then the Jews, they wrote this because of their bias about that. They think the Bible is just some storybook. It is not. It is here to furnish man unto every good work. And this is reasonable, because if there is God, and there is, then it is reasonable that he would give a man a message of guidance and hope. Just think, if there is a God, and there is, if there is heaven and hell, and there is, do you think God would not tell us what we need to go to one and avoid the other? Some misunderstand that you cannot destroy the Bible. Many have tried to destroy it, but if every Bible should be destroyed, it could be reproduced easily from thousands of other books which quote it. And if this were not possible, it would still not be destroyed. It would still appear at the judgment to face. And you just stop and think for a minute. And there have been times when it seems like there is no teaching of God's word. What must I do to be saved? You know, you can, this country, we'll just say, doesn't have any Bibles at all. They've all been burned, banned, gotten rid of. But you know, you go back to God's laws, and if you took a seed of corn and you planted it here, you'd expect corn. You plant it in China, and you would expect corn from that same seed. And you can take God's word and plant it here, and it's going to produce a Christian. You can take that same seed, that same Bible, and plant it in another country, and it's going to produce Christians. God, you cannot destroy God's word. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. All of those things we've accumulated, all of those things that we've accomplished, all those houses that we lived in, the cars, all those plaques and trophies that we have, they aren't going to mean a thing when we die. The only thing that matters is what we have done with the word. And friends, we better not misunderstand the word. We better not be mistaken about the word. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by things which were written in the books. Can you remember back to when you were in school and you had a test coming up? And sometimes the teacher would even tell you what the answers were to the questions, because they wanted you to know, they wanted you to study, but they wanted you to do well on the test. Sometimes a teacher will even give you the answers to the test so you do well on the test. Friends, when we get to the judgment, do you wonder how you're going to do on the test? Do you wonder if you're going to pass or fail? If you're going to go to heaven or if you're going to go to hell? Friends, God has already given us the answers to that test. They're right here. We just have to open our Bibles and read them. I try to spend less time on social media, and it's good and bad. So I try to limit my time on there because you see all these crazy things. And somebody had posted something about how to improve your life this year. And one of the things they said was, read one verse of the Bible a day. And I'm thinking, one verse, really? One verse? With 24 hours in the day and all the minutes, and don't you have time to read more than one verse? Some people misunderstand the Testaments, the Old and the New. Consequently, they are just likely to go to Psalms as to Acts to find the plan of salvation, or to Psalms to find instrumental music. The heir is the father of many other heirs. They don't understand. They are mistaken. We are now living under the reign and rule of the New Testament. I see people discuss and argue about many things, too many things. Some will say a woman cannot wear pants, and they'll go back to the Old Testament. Some will say you cannot have tattoos, and they go back to the Old Testament. And whether things, you have to use your judgment on things, and something maybe you can have, but it wouldn't be wise to have it. But they just don't understand that whatever you read in the Old Testament was either something God spoke to the patriarchs, which we aren't patriarchs today, or he spoke to the Jewish nation. And we aren't the Jewish nation. It would be like opening up a book of law from France or Nigeria or somewhere and saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. It's right here in the book. Sorry, that book doesn't apply to me. Now, the Old Testament, we can learn so much from it. And we can learn when God's people obeyed that law, he blessed them. When they did not obey the law that he gave them, there were curses brought on them. We need to learn that lesson. The law of Moses was to last till Christ came, Galatians 3:19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. But that law Jesus nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So today we must hear Christ. It's good to read the Old Testament. It's good to study it. I'm enjoying our study of the Old Testament. I hope one or two of you others are enjoying it also. But we don't follow that law. It doesn't apply to us. The law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Luke 16:16, then the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. So that law was nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. The first covenant was taken away that we might have the second. Hebrews 10:9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. We all understand this, and I don't know why people, it's like their brain turns to bubble gum or something when you start talking about the Bible, and they just, well, you believe what you want to, and I'll believe what I want to. We understand covenants. A will and covenant. And so when the Bible was written, so that different language speaking people could understand it, in a lot of documents, legal documents, it'll say last will and covenant, last will and testament. It all means the same things, but so there's no misunderstanding. Now, I haven't counted them up, but I've had several wills. I had one before I got married. I got married, I changed it, had another one. I think we've changed it two more times, so I guess I've had four wills in my lifetime. And if somebody went back and they found the second will and said, aha, this is what you want done. No, because that will is not in effect. We understand that with our personal belongings, with our personal possessions. Why don't we understand it with God's word? Some people misunderstand the books of the Bible. The Old Testament books point forward to Christ's coming. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The first prophecy of the coming of Christ. Isaiah, who prophesied of Christ more than any other prophet in the Old Testament, shows that the law was a schoolmaster to prepare man for Christ. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The New Testament books point backwards to Christ having come. The Gospels are books of evidence to create faith in Christ. Again, four Gospels, because they were written to four different audiences. And John, again, John being the last one, was the universal, written to everybody to show the divinity of Christ. And I believe, as we looked at this morning, that's why the discourse from the Lord's Supper to the time he went to the garden covers so much more information that is just so rich that if we didn't have that, it would leave a lot out. Some people misunderstand the chapters of the Bible. They think it came from God broken down in chapters. I should say they just don't think. But man arranged it in chapters. The break for chapters often contributes to misunderstanding because it breaks the thought. For instance, some think the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 in Acts 1. But if you read Acts 1:26 along with Acts 2, as if there is no chapter break, you'll see that the apostles were the ones baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's always good if you're studying something in a chapter to read at least a chapter before and the chapter after and just see what the context is. Some people misunderstand the verses of the Bible. Again, they are not aware of the fact that the Bible was broken down into verses by man. And I don't sound mean saying they just don't think, but a lot of people have never thought about it. A lot of people don't even own a Bible. A lot of people have never opened a Bible, and they just take man's word for something. They expect too much from one verse. They expect to get the whole plan of salvation from one verse. But there's no one verse in the Bible that gives the whole plan of salvation. We must take the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27. We must look at all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Some people are mistaken about that. They just don't understand. You gotta look at all the verses together before you start drawing conclusions. Some people misunderstand the phrases of the Bible. They misunderstand such simple phrases as, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They try to get salvation before baptism. Again, you wouldn't come up with that on your own, but they come up with that because they've listened to some man instead of reading the Bible. They misunderstand Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized to every one of you, the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They try to get remission of sins before baptism. They misunderstand some of the phrases. Repentance and baptism are joined together by the conjunction and, a conjunction which couples words and phrases and points to the same object, which is remission of sins. So repentance and baptism are for the same purpose. Also, some misunderstand for in the verse. They say it means because of, be baptized because of remission of sins. However, it means in Acts 2:38 what it meant in Matthew 26:28 is blood shed for the remission of sins. Not that Jesus shed his blood because our sins were already remitted. Some people misunderstand the words of the Bible. What's it mean to repent? Oh, it doesn't matter. You just do whatever you want. What's it mean to be baptized? Oh, I was baptized when I was a child. I don't remember, but when I was a baby, my parents had me baptized. A lot of people, they understand the word from their experience, whether it's baby baptism, pouring, sprinkling, baptism for the dead. Repentance means more than reformation in Matthew 3:8. It's also related to godly sorrow for sin, 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. You see, some people repent and they're just brokenhearted, and we should be brokenhearted when we sin. Brokenhearted because we understand that we have violated God's word. We have severed ourselves from Him. He loves us so much. There should be godly sorrow. And to repentance, to some people, it just means, oh, I won't do that anymore. I won't do that anymore. That's their concept of repentance. The dictionary defines baptism as sprinkling, pouring, immersion, because the function of a dictionary is to give the usages of a word. So a dictionary will tell you how a word is used at the time the dictionary was written. And you can go back back in time a couple hundred years, and the way we would use a word for one thing is different than the way we use it today. I remember this example from years and years ago. It was not uncommon for somebody to say that they were asked, are you feeling gay? Do you feel gay? And they understood that to mean happy. It has a completely different meaning today of how the word uses it. It's interesting, though, that the Bible was written in a dead language that never changes. So if we want to understand, what baptism means, we go back and look at the original and see that it means to immerse. And then we look at the examples of how it was done. When both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and then they both came up out of the water, we understand that baptism is an immersion. It's not sprinkling, it's not pouring. When we misunderstand the Bible, we do err not knowing the scriptures. And again, people will say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is we are going to be judged by the word. And we've got to learn how to come across to people in a kind way, in a loving way, but to let them know you're mistaken. You're mistaken. It can't be what I think and what you think. Either one of us is wrong or we are both wrong, but it can't be both ways. Why don't we go to the Bible and read it together and see what it says? Text implies that the scriptures are the standard of life. 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:3, Psalm 119:105. We need a standard. And again, we live in a society now that wants to throw out standards. They want to throw out the laws. You turn on the TV, you turn on social media, and you hear people crying and complaining about, well, this is happening, and this is happening, and this, and how can you do that to these people? Well, we are either a law, a nation of laws, or we are not a nation of laws. The church is a kingdom of laws, or it's not a kingdom of laws. And if the church is not a kingdom of laws, then anybody could do anything they wanted. But you go through and you read in the New Testament, you read the letters that Paul wrote to the different churches. Just you think about the church at Corinth, they had one problem after another. A man living with his father's wife, someone taking his brother to law, problems with this, problems with that. If it doesn't matter, why didn't Paul just said, God's grace, peace be with you, amen? No. God's law is his law. It's a standard. Man needs the standard. Jeremiah 10:23, just like he needs standards of time, standards of weights, standards of measure. The text implies that we err if we deviate from the scriptures. Moses smote the rock. He erred by going beyond. Numbers 27:11. Saul saved Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen. He erred by falling short. 1 Samuel 15. The people in the context erred because they knew not the scriptures. They erred not knowing the power of God. Matthew 22:29. When the omnipotence of God is recognized, it's easy to believe in his power to perform any supernatural work. Acts 26:8. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? You believe in God, God of heaven and the earth, that God created this earth. He created the moon and stars and the planets. He gives us what we need to live, every breath that we take. But you think he's not powerful enough to raise the dead? The source of their error was ignorance, and that's true of many. One of the biggest delusions of the day is a dependence upon human reason for guidance instead of the scriptures. We must know the truth, John 8:32. Some others who know the scriptures also err. It's not for ignorance, it's for other reasons. For instance, it might be for prejudice. Acts chapter 7. When Stephen was telling the Sanhedrin the history of the Jewish race, the history of the Israelites, don't you think they knew their own history? Sure they did. But they had a prejudice against Stephen because he was proclaiming Christ as the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament prophesied was coming. He came, and what did they do? They put him to death. And then what did they do? They stoned Stephen. Preconceived ideas caused some to color the scriptures. The Jews were unable to understand the Great Commission. It took a miracle to get them to understand that this also applied to the Gentiles. So when Jesus said, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing everyone, and Peter was there listening to him, and then when he was told to go to the household of Cornelius, what did Peter say? He shook his head this way, I can't go there. He misunderstood the Great Commission. Some err, they know only a fragment of the scriptures. They know the verse that they like, or they know the verse that they heard some preacher preach on something, and they haven't studied it for themselves. And friends, don't take a word that I say. You study for yourselves. You study for yourselves. One of the things used to get under my skin, people would say, and I haven't, you know, this is all over. This is all over. Well, brother so-and-so would say, brother so-and-so would say, brother so-and-so would say. Friends, do you know the Bible? What does the Bible say? Why not quote the Bible? Nothing against those men, but I think those men, those preachers, would want you to get people back to the Bible, because if I take what this person says from some preacher, then they can take what their Baptist preacher says, their Methodist, well, my Methodist preacher said this. You see, we take it off the preacher level and we put it up to the Bible level, to God's level. Psalm 119:160, the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. Again, we take all the verses on a subject and we put them together. We get the sum of them, and then we start drawing conclusion. Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Friends, one of the reasons some people are mistaken, they aren't hearing the whole counsel of God preached where they are. They aren't hearing it. But then again, it's on each one of us individually. How about you? Have you been mistaken? Friends, are you willing to do what's right? Are you willing to do what is right right now? Are you willing to let the Bible determine what is right? We've got to get people to go back to understanding that this is our source of authority. We've got to sit down with them, help them understand it, and ask them if you want to do right. And then if you want to do right, we have to settle on what that standard is, that standard that we talked about. And if you're willing to do that, why don't you do it right now? Don't put it off. Don't wait till some other time. And friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond, to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.